listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. For now, authorities are not talking about any possible motivation in that apparent attempt on former President Donald Trump's life as he golfed on Sunday at his club in West Palm Beach, Florida. Ryan Wesley Routh now in custody.
Police have not released a motive, but investigators are exploring whether the suspect was upset by Trump's position on Ukraine. Records show 58-year-old Routh lived in North Carolina for most of his life before moving to Hawaii in 2018. This would mark the second assassination attempt on Trump's life in the last 9 weeks.
ABC's Lana Moise. A federal court hearing in Washington, D.C. today as TikTok's parent company tries to get a law requiring it to sell to a U.S.-approved owner or be banned declared unconstitutional. The strike by union machinists against Boeing is entering its first full week. There's a federal mediator entering the negotiating process tomorrow. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WLAK News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section on the WLAK website at lakeair.radio.
Civic Media News, I'm Derek Tritz. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Authorities confirmed that remains found recently in Two Rivers belong to a long-missing three-year-old boy. Terry Bell reports.
Two Rivers Police Chief Ben Minard breaking the bad news on Friday.
It is with a heavy heart that I announce to you today those remains were identified as Elijah Vu.
The three-year-old boy was reported missing in February. Elijah's mother and her boyfriend are still in jail, charged with child neglect, though not directly linked to his disappearance. Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
A complaint says a state senator broke federal rules during his run for Congress. The Campaign Legal Center says Andre Jacques of DePere transferred money from his state campaign committee to his campaign for 8th District Congress. The complaint asks the Federal Election Commission to sanction and fine Jacques. And that's what you need to know. I'm Derek Tritz, and this is Civic Media News.
It's a victory Monday for the Packers. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cusco with Sports, filling in for Mike Clemens. Green Bay got a 10-point lead in the first half and stayed ahead of Indianapolis the rest of the way, taking a 16-10 victory at Lambeau Field on Sunday. Head coach Matt LaFleur was happy to get the win.
I have a lot of respect for the Indianapolis Colts. Gus Bradley, he's one of the premier defensive coordinators in this league. And just for our guys to be able to go out there and execute, this is a very tough physical football team that we played. And for our guys to be able to do what we did, I was really proud of our efforts.
The Packers will play Tennessee this Sunday. Milwaukee's run of extra inning losses continued Sunday as the Brewers fell 11-10 in 10 innings to the Diamondbacks. Milwaukee took a lead in the top of the 10th but gave up 3 runs in the bottom half with closer Devin Williams left in the bullpen. It doesn't get any easier for the Brewers, who will host the Phillies and Diamondbacks for a 7-game homestand beginning tonight. Milwaukee's lead in the NL Central is at 10 games. Filling in for Mike Clemens, I'm Jimmy Cuska with Civic Media Sports.
Usinger's has been making America's finest sausage for over 140 years. Now Usinger's fresh brats are flash frozen and vacuum packed so they stay butcher shop fresh for 6 months in your freezer. And because there's no air in the package, there's no need for chemical preservatives. Usinger's fresh brats are the freshest, most additive-free you will find. Enjoy some this summer with our other Great Link products. Our VacPack sausage seals in flavor and leaves out chemicals. Remember, if it's got the elf on the label, you've got quality on your table.
Pat Kreitlow.
Monday on Up North News Radio, weekend happenings along the Wisconsin campaign trail. And we'll talk about how the Packers did at their home opener at Lambeau Field.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Partly sunny today, a high near 85. Partly cloudy tonight, 62. Sunshine and back to the mid-80s on Tuesday. Tuesday night, clear skies, upper 50s. Sunny and low 80s on Wednesday. Thursday, mostly sunny and highs around 82.
Right now, it's 68.
Make a difference in your community today. Find the perfect volunteering opportunity for you at volunteerwisconsin.org or by getting in touch with your local United Way or Volunteer Center. There are so many ways to get involved and make an impact. Paid for by United Way of Wisconsin.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Dom Salvia.
Next time, join me as we start the new week barreling towards the presidential election. We'll have a week full of special guests, celebrity hosts, and you. Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Boy, did you get enough heat over the weekend? More on the way. Welcome in. It's a Monday. This is the Midwest Farm Report. I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke. I heard it from people that were at the Badger game on Saturday, and I heard it from a lot of friends that were at the Packer game yesterday. Holy potato. For this stage in September, it's warm. I wish I could give you a little bit of a break, but the weather forecast in front of me says today, daytime highs in that La Crosse area, you could be near 90 degrees. Madison around 88, and in the Milwaukee area, even along the lakeshore, still 82 degrees. It is going to be a hot, dry week all week long. Looks like temperatures may turn the corner about Wednesday or so, but we're still going to remain in the lower 80s. Stu Mocker, ag meteorologist, has this crazy weather forecast for us and all the details in about 15 minutes. Charity Seebecker is joining us this morning, visiting with Rachel Kerr from Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin on some of the projects they're working on heading towards World Dairy Expo. Stephanie Hoff is going to give us an update. The aerial acrobatics that make people pull over to the side of the road sometimes are very valuable partners for Wisconsin farmers. Those aerial applicators, their season's about done now, but she said what's more interesting is how they have been recruiting new members to become aerial acrobats. That story and so much more on the way.
They believe in protecting the families and children in our farming communities. Kids love to be included in the daily farm activities, but accidents can happen quickly. Reduce the chance of injury by making sure your farm is a safe environment for adults and kids. Learn more at ruralmutual.com.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
Farmers are busy this time of the year not only chopping their corn silage, but also putting up third, maybe fourth crop of alfalfa hay, putting it in the barns, in their bags, or in their bunkers. I'm Bob Bosol from the northern end of the world's longest barn in Eau Claire. And what is the future for alfalfa variety selection? We talked recently with Randy Welch, Forage and Alfalfa Agronomy Lead with Forage Genetics International of West Salem, and he told us that the industry is changing when it comes to what the future will look like.
Yeah, there's been some changes. And, you know, not to go into too many names here, but a lot of big companies are getting out of alfalfa. And I think it's obvious that there's probably fewer dairy farms. The farms that are out there are getting bigger. The farms that are out there are very serious about their alfalfa. They want to have, the right products for their acres. They want to have alfalfa staffing, from the sellers that are providing the best information for them. I think that some of the big companies got to a point where maybe they felt they weren't able to provide that kind of service that the farmers were asking for. And the products, their research maybe was not quite where they needed to be on some of those products. And so I think one thing kind of led to another. And they, from a management standpoint, decided to get out of alfalfa. So there's some real big name changes that are out of the alfalfa business.
Are they out now, or are they going through the rest of their stock, so to speak? How soon before we really see a shrinkage?
Yeah, we're seeing the tightening of those other companies now. They're moving through their inventories, and they're not going to have replacement acres to produce the seed. So as that inventory is declining, it will eventually go away. And then those companies, those brands are basically disappearing.
So as we go forward for you folks at Forage Genetics International down around the West Salem area, do you feel more pressure to develop, keep developing? Because, I mean, there's fewer and fewer of you guys that are actually doing research and development, which is very expensive.
Well, let's just talk about that a little bit. So Forage Genetics is the alfalfa development company, a wholly owned subsidiary of Land O'Lakes. Land O'Lakes is in the dairy business. We buy milk from farmers. And if you think about that for just a couple seconds, you think about, well, if alfalfa is really important to the dairy cow, then somebody needs to be developing the alfalfa. And dairy farmers tell us repeatedly that it's very difficult to make efficient milk without alfalfa. And even though it's a complicated crop to grow in many cases, it's got farmers worry about cutting sequencing, fencing and winter kill and alfalfa weevil and several things like that. But when it's all said and done, when that alfalfa is in the ration, it makes milk very efficiently. So the value of what we do at Forage Genetics is basically develop the best alfalfa varieties in the world and position those with our growers, here in the U.S. and around the world for that matter. And the genetics are very important. Disease resistance is very important. Getting varieties that are truly adapted to the situations that they're grown in, getting the right genes in those plants is really, really important. And that's what we focus on at Forage Genetics.
How big is the international marketplace for alfalfa? Because we see around the world we are getting more dairies in places like Saudi Arabia and all over the place. Can they grow the same types of alfalfa that we grow here?
Well, around the world, and I'm not the international person, so I'm probably going way out ahead here, but the international business, there are places, certainly Mexico has a strong dairy industry, and we sell alfalfa there. The other very important thing is we do export a lot of alfalfa to dairy producing regions. And so a lot of alfalfa that's in the western U.S. or a portion of that alfalfa does get exported to the Orient. And that's been a big plus for our alfalfa growers in the western states is to export that alfalfa.
Does that play a part in the forage research, knowing that it's going to be exported, be it cubes or however it's exported, so it stays viable until it gets overseas, gets fed? Is that a challenge, or is it not part of the equation?
No, not really. I mean, the alfalfa that we grow in the western U.S. is really the same varieties or similar genetics, maybe slightly different dormancy than what we grow here in the Midwest. But they're basically, once you grow it in the West Coast and put it in a container and ship it to a country in the Orient and put it in front of their dairy cows, it's just as productive as it is here in the U.S.
So what's going on at Forage Genetics? Tell us about some of the research that we're doing. We know earlier this summer we had weevil. We know we've had some government challenges, some of the technology here a few years ago in our alfalfa. Bring us up to date on alfalfa research. What's going on?
Yeah, so some of the cool things going on in alfalfa. Now, we spend a lot of time on disease resistance. And even though everybody likes to, weevil is a problem this year, and that's a fact, there's not really good genetic resistance to alfalfa weevil. And that's been a struggle, I think, for a lot of breeders over the years, has been trying to find that magic bullet that gives us good weevil resistance. And so really, we still need to do good alfalfa management with good scouting techniques and chemical applications. Now, the thing that really sets us apart, we feel, in our breeding program that's made us really a very unique powerhouse, if you will, in alfalfa breeding, has been disease resistance. And diseases, every day of that alfalfa's life, that plant is being challenged by a disease. And particularly the root diseases, aphantomyces root rot, the new race, there's a new race of that called race 3 or race 2, race other, this combination or cocktail of aphantomyces, and then also a new disease or disease of alfalfa that's been around called anthracnose. And those two diseases are what we call our AA resistance now that we have in our new products. Legendary Rebound AA and Gunner AA have resistance to those two new races of alfalfa, along with the other base of genetics that makes that alfalfa very strong. And then the other general area that we spend a lot of time researching has been forage quality through the Harvextra gene. And the Harvextra gene allows us to have a slight reduction in lignin content, but it opens up what we call the cellulose and hemicellulose matrix so that we can actually get in and the rumen microbes can get value out of that fiber that normally is basically passing through that dairy cow. So the value of Harvextra in combination with this disease resistance has been a powerful, powerful combination that's really set us apart in the industry.
When you look at this lower lignin, standability a problem?
No, that's a great question, Bob, but we did a lot of work on this, and there's no difference in standability of Harvextra alfalfa and conventional alfalfa. Now, all alfalfa will lodge if it gets big enough. If it gets over about 28 to 30 inches, it will lodge, and there's no difference. There's actually technically three different kinds of lignin alfalfa. We basically did a lot of research on that, and there's the changes of the plant was that we modified the one lignin that was doing all this cross-linking with the fiber, and the other lignins that basically hold the plant upright, or as we like to call it, the rebar in the concrete, that lignin is intact and the plants stand just fine.
And as we look at it now, farmers are putting more pressure on this alfalfa. I mean, it used to be Memorial Day. We didn't go in those alfalfa fields till Memorial Day. Now Memorial Day, a lot of these big guys, they're long gone. They're looking at second crop already. How much do things like that affect our researchers that they've got to be able to produce this alfalfa that's going to be under a lot of pressure during the growing and harvesting season. It used to be three crops, now it's four and maybe more, because these have to be really hardy crops so we don't take their winter hardiness away. It's a challenge out there, isn't it?
Yeah, so that's a great question. So we really want farmers to think about that cutting sequence, and Harvextra alfalfa allows us actually to stretch that harvest out. And so what alfalfa research found in here in Wisconsin is that if you cut alfalfa too frequently, its yield actually goes down. So we really want to move away from these rapid defoliations of anything less than 30 days. It's probably detrimental to alfalfa. So the Harvextra trait allows us to go, as I like to say, to outside of 30 days, not inside of 30 days. So we really like to go back to these more with the Harvextra technology, now not the conventional, but the Harvextra technology. We would go back to these 32, maybe 34 day cuttings and still have very high quality alfalfa, be able to stretch those harvests out so we get our cuttings out here to the end of August, which is kind of a new way to farmers to think about maybe cutting alfalfa, timing it so that you're actually looking at the calendar and saying, if this is all weather dependent, of course, but timing that last cutting of alfalfa at the very end of August so you pick up that last 10 or 12 days of growth. And then you avoid these mid-October cuttings where you have this massive lodged alfalfa to deal with in October. So the value of Harvextra gives farmers a lot more options. And what we found is that once the farmer has Harvextra traded alfalfa on the farm, it is absolutely the second time around. He loves it and he's going to buy that technology again on the farm.
Randy Welch is with us with Forage Genetics International, Forage and Agronomy Manager. And Randy, when you go to the field days, you see the corn hybrid people and the soybean hybrid people, oh, look for what's coming in 2025 or look what's coming in 2026. Can you say that, or are we just looking at this Harvextra? And I know you're continually doing research, and research doesn't stop, but any major announcements in the field of forage or alfalfa as we go into the next year or two?
Yeah, I don't think there's any big announcements that we're going to move into here. And we really need to position the whole industry on this change of our competitors, our friendly competitors, repositioning themselves as corn and soybeans, and we're going to be positioned as the alfalfa experts. So there's really no big change. Harvextra is our mantra right now that we're moving forward with, and the AA technology and the Cropland brand is going to be the products that we want to go forward with.
So if you want an update on forages, alfalfa especially, Randy Welch is your man. Randy's forage and alfalfa manager with Forage Genetics International. Of course, their headquarters down in West Salem, as he said, they're world class. At a field day with Synergy Co-op, I'm Bob Bosold.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as ag meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
Like smelt fries and music on the river, we're uniquely Amory. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
The kids are heading back to class, but when the subject is school, we have to talk about the first kindergarten started in Wisconsin. Marguerite Schurz created what is known as America's First Kindergarten in 1856, teaching a small class at her family's home in Watertown. It's about 50 miles west, northwest of Milwaukee. So can you guess, when did kindergarten become part of the state's public school system? The answer coming up. Schurz learned about kindergarten in Germany, where the idea was common. It wasn't in America, and her class grew so quickly, she had to move to a bigger space. Today, the building remains as a Watertown museum. So did you guess when kindergarten became part of the public school system in the state? It was 1898. But 42 years prior, the Schurz School started it all, making this a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Todd Allbus Show.
Going back to this interview we just had again, many thanks to Michael Cohen, former attorney and fixer for Donald Trump. Let's go back to the phone lines. Don in Milwaukee. Don, thanks for holding. What say you?
My God, that I've been listening to your station, Civic Media, for a long time, and this was a blockbuster. I was absolutely riveted.
The Todd Allbus Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Matt Nair on air.
Wisconsin Public Radio Dodge County clerks backtrack on using drop boxes after concerns from Republican sheriff in order to prevent the perception of voter fraud.
What is he citing as any sort of proof of concern about this?
Gut feeling.
It's a gut feeling.
Yeah, inherently.
Feel it in your bones.
Yes,
right?
Exactly.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
On Monday's show, Gizmo joins us to talk about Evergreen Theater's production of House on Haunted Hill. And Carrie Josephson is in to talk about The Walk to End Alzheimer's. Join us.
Weekday mornings, 6 till 9.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK. Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Probably was noticing it sitting in the stands. But boy, then when I'm driving around Wisconsin, there is no denying that fields are changing color really, really fast. And I've got to wonder if our high moisture corn is not any longer high moisture, you know?
Yeah, I wonder, but I hadn't thought of that this weekend. I've seen a lot of cornfields myself or in a tractor ride Saturday and other things yesterday, but that corn itself drying down quickly, and I know the guys are packing it in bunkers and on piles around me like mad.
Yeah.
But it has dried down so fast.
Yeah. Our talk text line is open to you, especially you farmers. How is it running out there? You know, maybe I know some guys cut beans already, too. How are the moistures looking? That talk text line, 877-301-FARM, 877-301-3276. You can use that number anytime, not just now. But you say, despite the fact that temperatures are well into the 80s for most of Wisconsin, these aren't historical highs, huh?
No, not historically hot, not going to be hot. I mean, I've looked at some forecasts, you know, the heat index, the possibilities over the next several days. Now, we only find we're in the mid-80s around here. That's nothing drastic, you know, not going to be overly hot, overly humid to cause a problem. But it's warm. It's warm air. It's dry air. Low pressure is trying to push in from the northwest U.S., again, heading through Idaho, Montana, Wyoming, and with a cool front trying to push toward North Dakota. There are showers in North Dakota, South Dakota, Nebraska as well. Not coming to Wisconsin. It's going to try the northwestern, maybe quarter or third of the state. May see a slight rain chance as we head on toward Tuesday. I just don't expect it's really going to push in here. We're going to stay high and dry and pretty sunny throughout the period. Another tropical depression is pushing up the east coast of the U.S. They're talking about the Carolinas getting all kinds of rainfall, and that's the reason that's happening because of the strong high over the far northeast U.S. That's the reason we're staying drier. Stuff isn't able to move in, and that system trying to move up out of the tropics will be held off in the east central or southeast part of the country and drop a lot of rain there as well. So kind of a blocked up pattern right now, and it continues this week. Plenty of sunshine, very warm temperatures, cooling a little more on toward Wednesday, Thursday. But we'll bring up some of that warmth again at the end of the week. I think as we start looking toward Friday and the weekend, that's when that chance of rain finally may begin to push on in. I'll have forecast details right after this.
It was for the love of the land and childhood memories that Troy Porter of Porter's Patch in Bondwell decided to change his career to run the family farm. This week, he's harvesting pumpkins and opening up his 2025 draft theme corn maze. He says if you have the opportunity to farm, pursue it.
I always believe anything's possible, and I've heard other success stories kind of similar to mine where they had no background in farming. So it can be done. If it's really something you want to do, pursue it. But it is a lifestyle. It's not just a career. It does change your life, and you got to be wanting to work. It's very challenging. You have to be so many different things. So if you like the challenge, if you have an opportunity and, you know, with some land or a family farm, it's definitely worth it to try.
Find resources on how to start an agricultural tourism destination at gowiagtourism.com.
Yeah, and I'm going to be with the Wisconsin Ag Tourism folks later this week as they open up a lot of corn mazes around the state. Those corn mazes are getting crispy, those two. No rain in our forecast.
No, not until quite likely the weekend, later Friday. Today, mostly sunny, of course. Even in the far northwest part of the state, we're talking almost a mid-80, upper 80s elsewhere with the southeast winds 5 to 10. Overnight, plenty of clear skies, a few clouds here and there, a little fog in some spots too. Upper 50s, low 60s with the southeast breeze. Another sunny, bright day today, tomorrow, mid to upper 80s. And southeast breeze is about 5. Sunny and very warm yet Wednesday, low 80s. We start to cool a bit. Southeast winds at 5. The only thing I can say, Pam, near the Lake Michigan shore, it may be a little bit cooler this week because of a southeast breeze. Otherwise, we're all very warm, and it looks like it stays dry.
Boy, that breeze is invaluable, though, I'll tell you. Catch a little breeze, and suddenly you can handle it at least.
Yeah, and that's a fact. We don't have the humidity like we would have had here several weeks ago.
Yeah, true. Yeah. It's still hot.
It's still hot, but it's not quite so sticky.
All right, buddy. We'll catch up with you tomorrow. Thanks, Stu.
All right. See ya.
Stu Mock, our ag meteorologist, with your Compure Financial Ag Weather Update. Compure Financial is your financial partner, committed to agriculture and rural Wisconsin. Just check them out, compure.com. As I said, I'm looking for your feedback. Our talk text line is live, 877-301-3276, 877-301-FARM.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
In touch with the City of Lakes. In touch with you. This is Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Reacting to recent partisan voter registration purges and rule changes from state officials, legislatures, and election boards, September 10th, the U.S. Department of Justice reminded states of their responsibilities under the federal National Voter Registration Act. Following Georgia's questionable rollout of its voter registration cancellation request portal and late voter purges by officials in North Carolina, Ohio, Texas, and other states, DOJ Assistant Attorney General Kristen Clark issued this video statement.
The right to vote is the root of all our freedoms. The United States Department of Justice is determined to protect that right, but we need your help. If you believe that your name has been improperly removed from the list of registered voters, please file an online complaint with the Civil Rights Division or call us at 1-800-253-3931. In fact, you should alert us promptly to any effort to interfere with your right to vote.
Simultaneously, DOJ issued a pointed guidance on when, how, and under what circumstances a voter's registration can be purged under the National Voter Registration Act. We have resources where you can check your registration status and the DOJ's contact information at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Some big ideas being shared at the Cap Times Idea Fest in Madison. Civic Media is proud to be a part of it and will broadcast the live one-on-one discussion with Nancy Pelosi. Hear what the first female Speaker of the House thinks about the state of politics and the presidential election, Monday, September 16th at 7:30 p.m. Live coverage of Nancy Pelosi from Idea Fest, Monday night, September 16th at 7:30 on your local Civic Media radio station.
The Todd Alba Show.
Going back to this interview we just had again, many thanks to Michael Cohen, former attorney and fixer for Donald Trump. Let's go back to the phone lines. Don in Milwaukee. Don, thanks for holding. What say you?
My God, that I've been listening to your station, Civic Media, for a long time, and this was a blockbuster. I was absolutely riveted.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. For now, authorities are not talking about any possible motivation in that apparent attempt on former President Donald Trump's life as he golfed on Sunday at his club in West Palm Beach, Florida. Ryan Wesley Routh now in custody.
Police have not released the motive, but investigators are exploring whether the suspect was upset by Trump's position on Ukraine. Records show 58-year-old Routh lived in North Carolina for most of his life before moving to Hawaii in 2018. This would mark the second second assassination attempt on Trump's life in the last 9 weeks.
ABC's Lana Moise. A federal court hearing in Washington, D.C. today as TikTok's parent company tries to get a law requiring it to sell to a U.S.-approved owner or be banned declared unconstitutional. The strike by union machinists against Boeing is entering its first full week. There's a federal mediator entering the negotiating process tomorrow. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News, I'm Derek Tritz. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Authorities confirmed that remains found recently in Two Rivers belong to a long-missing three-year-old boy. Terry Bell reports.
Two Rivers Police Chief Ben Meinert breaking the bad news on Friday.
It is with a heavy heart that I announce to you today those remains were identified as Elijah Vu.
The three-year-old boy was reported missing in February. Elijah's mother and her boyfriend are still in jail, charged with child neglect, though not directly linked to his disappearance. Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
A complaint says a state senator broke federal rules during his run for Congress. The Campaign Legal Center says Andre Jacques of DePere transferred money from his state campaign committee to his campaign for 8th District Congress. The complaint asks the Federal Election Commission to sanction and fine Jacques. And that's what you need to know. I'm Derek Tritz, and this is Civic Media News.
It's a victory Monday for the Packers. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cusco with Sports, filling in for Mike Clemens. Green Bay got a 10-point lead in the first half and stayed ahead of Indianapolis the rest of the way, taking a 16-10 victory at Lambeau Field on Sunday. Head coach Matt LaFleur was happy to get the win.
I have a lot of respect for the Indianapolis Colts. Gus Bradley, he's one of the premier defensive coordinators in this league. And just for our guys to be able to go out there and execute, this is a very tough physical football team that we played. And for our guys to be able to do what we did, I was really proud of our efforts.
The Packers will play Tennessee this Sunday. Milwaukee's run of extra-inning losses continued Sunday as the Brewers fell 11-10 in 10 innings to the Diamondbacks. Milwaukee took a lead in the top of the 10th but gave up 3 runs in the bottom half with closer Devin Williams left in the bullpen. It doesn't get any easier for the Brewers, who will host the Phillies and Diamondbacks for a 7-game homestand beginning tonight. Milwaukee's lead in the NL Central is at 10 games. Filling in for Mike Clemens, I'm Jimmy Cuska with Civic Media Sports.
Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Andra Watkins returns. She grew up in a Christian nationalist household and can tell us how that relates to Project 2025. It's not good. Don't miss it.
Matt Nair on air. Weekday mornings at 10. This is your hometown radio. Refreshed. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Partly sunny today, a high near 85. Partly cloudy tonight, 62. Sunshine and back to the mid-80s on Tuesday. Tuesday night, clear skies, upper 50s. Sunny and low 80s on Wednesday. Thursday, mostly sunny and highs around 82.
It's 67 right now.
As a federally licensed broadcast company, this Civic Media station is required by FCC regulations to accept advertising by all qualified candidates for federal office. We also accept ads from state and local candidates. We do screen announcements from issue groups and PACs and exercise discretion in airing announcements with blatantly false claims or outrageous unfounded statements. These announcements do not necessarily reflect the views of Civic Media, its hosts, or advertisers, and the source of all issue announcements can be found online at our FCC public file.
How serious is youth vaping? Irreversible lung damage serious? 1 in 10 kids vape serious? Which warrants a serious conversation from a serious parental figure like yourself? Not the seriously know-it-all sports dad or the seriously smart podcaster? It requires a serious conversation that is best had by you. No, seriously, the best person to talk to your child about vaping is you. To start the conversation, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
Going back to this interview we just had again, many thanks to Michael Cohen, former attorney and fixer for Donald Trump. Let's go back to the phone lines. Don in Milwaukee. Don, thanks for holding. What say you?
My God, that I've been listening to your station, Civic Media, for a long time, and this was a blockbuster. I was absolutely riveted.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Dom Salvia Show.
Thank you for tuning in. Got my friend Earl Ingram Jr., Civic Media's own. Earl, thanks for joining me and hanging out in Waukesha, man.
Man, you sound like you've done this before.
It's been a couple of times. I mean, not as old as veteran as you, perhaps, Earl.
The first time you're doing this under the Dominic Salvia Show, you've invited me. It's an honor.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts. Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Most people out here think that taking care of one another is important. And most people would step up for a neighbor going through a tough time. Most people around here help out friends and family when they need it. But the funny thing is, most of us won't look for help when we need it. Talk to someone if you're struggling with mental health. Because most people out here really care. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
Point at maybe 10.
Hey, don't be afraid to jump on our talk text line this morning and let me know how you've been responding to the weather. Or are you noticing changes in your fields that you'd never expect for this, the 16th day of September? Welcome back, everybody. I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke. This is the Midwest Farm Report. We love to use our talk text line so that you can communicate directly with us. That's 877-301-FARM, 877-301-3276. Is this impacting your garden, all this heat? I know I'm seeing the cornfields and soybean fields changing color, but boy, what about corn silage? Is it starting to get too dry too fast? Let me know what your thoughts are. Again, our talk text line available to you whenever you've got a contribution, 877-301-FARM. So today is the 16th day of September. What can I tell you? Let's see. On this day in 1908, General Motors Corporation was founded. They set it up in Flint, Michigan by William Durant and Charles Mott. Company also known as GM, one of the world's largest manufacturers of cars and trucks. Probably the names you most note with GM would be Buick, Cadillac, Chevrolet, Pontiac, and Hummer brand cars. Started on this day back in 1908 in Flint, Michigan. Happy birthdays to magician David Copperfield, 68 years young. Actress, comedian Amy Poehler is 53. And Nick Jonas turns 32 years young. And now you know. Well, we've got a fun event that's coming up in the Madison area just off the square. And it's all about Wisconsin strength. Cheese! Charity Seebecker's got an update with Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin.
Wisconsin's love for cheese is set to shine once again as the highly anticipated Cheese Fair off the Square event returns to Madison. With an expanded lineup of cheesemakers and a new location, this year's event promises to be bigger and better, drawing thousands of cheese enthusiasts from across the region. I'm Charity Seebecker for the Midwest Farm Report. And Rachel Kerr, Vice President of Brand Marketing for Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin, joins us for this month's Check-In with Dairy Checkoff to share the excitement and details behind this unique celebration of the rich flavors and artistry that define our Wisconsin cheese.
So the event is called Cheese Fair Off the Square, and we first brought this event last year during the Art of Cheese Festival, and it was at the time the only public free event during the festival lineup, and we realized it was such a great opportunity to not only attract literally thousands of people, but have Wisconsin's cheesemakers from across the state, those that don't already sell and sample their products at the Dane County Farmers Market, get those products in the mouths and in the hearts of people who are just obsessed with cheese. And so we had so much success last year that we thought it would be a great idea to bring back just this event as a standalone experience for 2024.
And just how many people attended the event last year? How many are you expecting to come through this year?
We're expecting thousands of people. As you know, the Dane County Farmers Market is one of the premier farmers markets in the country. It attracts thousands of people every weekend. And so holding our event in tandem with this event that's already attracting people who are interested in not only cheese, but also different foods. They want to know who the farmers are and the makers are and where their food is coming from. And so it's just a great place to host this event and allows for us to have thousands of people walk through. Now, last year, we held the event on East Washington, but we've moved it a block over to the street of Martin Luther King Boulevard that connects the terrace with the Capitol. And this street will allow us to have more space so we can have more people filtered out. If you remember last year, it was very, very busy. A lot of people were excited to try and sample all the different cheeses that we had to offer. And so we've been able to make more space for this year to usher in thousands of people throughout the morning.
And I know this event really helps to bring that excitement and engagement from the community, but it also has to, I assume, bring that excitement from your participating cheesemakers. Take me through just who's there, how many, and the different types of cheeses that people get to try.
Well, this is such a great opportunity, like I said, for cheese companies from around the state to sample their products here, because there's only a few makers that currently have a spot on the actual market square. So we are bringing an additional 16 makers who will each have a tent where they can sample and sell their products throughout the day. It's crazy, though, how much people just want to try everything they possibly can. I mean, last year, there were people who spent well over an hour just making their way around to all the tents, trying every cheese, trying to figure out which one, you know, was maybe their new favorite. And I think that's what's so unique and so special about Wisconsin is that we have so much variety. We have so many different products by makers that are just doing different things. And this is a chance for us to let people explore that and be excited about what's coming out of the state and explore and taste the innovation and the new products and the different flavors and the artistry that goes into cheese making.
And this event is just the start of this excitement because this is going to help keep that momentum going as you guys have the full Art of Cheese Festival in 2025. Correct? Tell me a little bit more about that.
Exactly. So we're hoping that this event will keep that on people's radars and they will get excited for next year when we host the Art of Cheese Full Festival throughout the weekend, which involves over 20 different events, mostly ticketed. So we're hoping that people will be reminded that that festival will be returning. This really does kind of fuel that excitement and that passion that we've been developing among our consumers and spark some pride in our state and our farmers and the dairy products that we create.
And you guys are hosting another event too. I know this past season of Top Chef was here in Wisconsin and featured some of our Wisconsin cheesemakers, but you guys are continuing that celebration and continuing that moving forward. So tell me about that event that's coming up.
Exactly. We know people are foodies. They love Top Chef when it came to Wisconsin. So at the actual cheese fair, we were actually going to have a couple food trucks and some other fun. I forgot to mention that. But we're also hosting a ticketed brunch at Graves with Jeff Testens, Michelle Wallace, and Dan Jacobs, who's from Wisconsin. They both competed on this past season of Top Chef Wisconsin. And they're teaming up with Tori Miller to create a four-course Wisconsin cheese brunch menu. So we'll have cheesemakers in attendance, and this will be kind of a special event. It is ticketed, and so that's currently sold out, but there is a wait list, and we do anticipate opening up a few more tickets.
Rachel Kerr, Vice President of Brand Marketing for Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin, along with us for this month's Check-In with Dairy Checkoff. For more information about the Cheese Fair Off the Square free event, visit wisconsindairy.org. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Charity Seebecker.
At CHS, we know what it takes to feed and fuel the world, to integrate a global ag and energy supply chain, to advocate for farmers in their fields and around the world, to build communities, invest in rural America, and empower rural economies. It takes courage, conviction, commitment. It takes the nation's leading farmer-owned cooperative. It takes a co-op. It takes CHS.
Whether it's finally getting that blue ribbon or enjoying too many carnival rides, we all have memories of the fair. Here's your chance to share those stories in our Everybody Has a Fair Story contest. The Midwest Farm Report is teaming up with the Wisconsin Association of Fairs as they look for the grand champion fair story. Enter the Fair Story contest for a chance to win a cash prize at MidwestFarmReport.com.
I'll kind of keep that cheese theme that Charity was just working with going. World Dairy Expo has announced their champions of their dairy product contest. The grand champions were named in the categories of cheese and butter, grade A, and ice cream sherbet, frozen yogurt, and gelato. Just one entry from Wisconsin topped them all. Grand champion winner in the cheese and butter category, pure maple mascarpone, made by Lake Country Dairy Schumann Cheese up in Turtle Lake. If that name sounds familiar to you, they were also the grandmasters of the Wisconsin State Fair with that entry. The grand champion in the grade A category is Charlie's Old Time Buttermilk from Turner Dairy Farms, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. The grand champion winner of the ice cream, sherbet, frozen yogurt, and gelato category is Classic Lemon Bar Ice Cream from Umpqua Dairy in Rosenberg, Oregon. The ice cream's a zesty lemon ice cream swirled with creamy lemon revel and bites of lemon shortbread. So how about that? Grand champions and the first, second, and third place winners for each class will receive their trophies, medals, and ribbons during World Dairy Expo's special reception on October 1st. And I'll be there. All right, markets in overnight electronic trade this morning. Yep, just as you would expect, still lower. December corn's down 3 right now at 410. November soybeans are down 3, 1003. The December wheat's down almost 8 at 587. On Friday in Chicago, the barrel cheese gained a nickel to 248 and a half, but 40-pound block cheese, that was down a half, 227 and a half. Double A butter on Friday gained up another 4.5 cents to $3.13 a pound. Now this morning, the October Class 3 milk that goes into cheese is up $6.2408. November's up a penny at $23.41 a hundredweight. If you've ever been driving in a rural country area and seen a plane doing all kinds of crazy things in the air, close to trees, then straight up in the air, well, that might have been one of our aerial applicators. A great story with Stephanie Hoff on that profession coming your way next on a Monday.
Broadcasting from atop the water tower. Well, not really, but it sounds fun. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station. It's time to go for the green or gold with Civic Media's new Text to Win contest. When you go for the green or gold, you could win $100 cash, gold jewelry, and be entered to win our grand prize, 2 indoor club-level seats to see the green and gold in Green Bay. Download the free Civic Media app in the Google Play or App Store and get ready to text in for your chance to win in this statewide contest. Get ready to go for the green or gold with your local Civic Media radio station.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Today, I want to try out a little personal finance quiz. Are you ready? Here we go. Which phrase best completes this sentence? I can find out where I'm spending too much money by A, buying less expensive things, B, setting a financial goal, or C, tracking what you buy. If you guess C, you are 100% correct. The best way to figure out where you're spending money that you don't have to is by tracking your spending. Just take a look at your bank account and your credit card statements today. See what you notice. Anything pop out at you? Tracking like that helps you make more informed choices about your goals and your spending. For more everyday money tips, check out Work Money Media on YouTube, or you can text MONEY, M-O-N-E-Y, to 88285. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
Matt Nair on air.
Wisconsin Public Radio, Dodge County Clerks backtrack on using drop boxes after concerns from Republican sheriff in order to prevent the perception of voter fraud.
What is he citing as any sort of proof of concern about this?
Gut feeling.
Oh, it's just,
a gut feeling.
Yeah, inherently.
Feel it in your bones.
Yes,
right?
Exactly.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pete Schwaba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome entertainment critic and CityCast Madison newsletter editor Rob Thomas. And tis the season, so we'll talk about our favorite political movies.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Matt and Air on Air.
That's 877-301-3276. Hey, don't forget, we're catching up with John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, tomorrow morning at this time. Maybe he'll have some thoughts on how this weather is influencing the markets. Join us then. So wrapping it up on a Monday, you know, if you've ever been driving in the countryside and you see a plane and all of a sudden it scares the daylights out of you, it's flying too close to the ground, or maybe it's flying too close to trees and then all of a sudden goes straight up in the air. Well, those would be our aerial applicators. Those are pilots that are applying different herbicides or insect control mechanisms to keep our Wisconsin farmers moving forward. It's fast, it's effective, they're incredibly accurate, but there's also not that many of them. Stephanie Hoff tells us more.
After a busy application season, Wisconsin's agricultural aviators can finally take a breath. That is, before the off-season work begins. Curtis Meister is the president of Raby Spraying Service in Plover. He's also the president of the Wisconsin Agricultural Aviation Association. He takes us into the cockpit to answer our questions on what it's like being a farm pilot. First, he tells us that even when they're done spraying for the year, they've got their hands full with other duties. Some even fly out to do work in other areas of the country.
For myself and for some of the full-time employees, we get into our maintenance season then. So all our aircraft have to undergo an annual inspection. So we'll perform that ourselves in our own maintenance facility. So we have, for us in our fleet, we have 5 air tractors and 1 helicopter needing maintenance. And that is several months worth of work right there. So that, at least I get the benefit there is I actually get to go back to a banker type of hour. So a little more family oriented that way. So I appreciate that shift. But aside from that, there's still other pilots. They might move around the country to different flying jobs. So while we're not doing much, some guys even go overseas to get some other missions. But myself, I've even gotten involved in some out of state work for spongy moth has been a common pest that other states are trying to control. And so I'll get involved in that slightly, or in some of our equipment may get leased on certain eradication programs.
Kurt, how much capacity is on an aircraft?
Yeah, so a typical airplane might have a 500-gallon capacity hopper. For us in a specialty crop market, we're applying a lot of products at 4 to 5 gallons per acre of water. So we're out there treating anywhere from 80 to 100 acres on average, and that's with a 500-gallon airplane. But they also produce 600 or 800-gallon aircraft. So if you're doing more of a corn fungicide application at 2 gallons of water, that airplane could be covering 300 to 400 acres in one load.
You know, when we talk about the harvest season, for example, we often talk about how many hours a farmer is in the tractor. During your busy season, how many hours do you spend up in the air?
So that's the part I enjoy, being up in the air. It's just being able to follow this environment. Our application height's about 12 to 15 feet over the crop, and we're operating at that altitude up to 500 or 1,000 feet above the ground. That's what I truly enjoy about this industry, just such a unique perspective on our growing environment. And I get to just be there and experience it. But so I'm doing that, me and my pilots that we have hired. In a given week, it might be 40 to 50 hours a week we're in the aircraft. Throughout the season, it might be around 400 to 500 hours throughout our growing season. And, of course, for us in aerial application, sometimes we're working all day long, you know, sunrise to sunset, or other times, obviously, we can't work around in too much wind. So that's why it kind of shovels our work in the, I call them a two-a-day, kind of fly in the morning and fly in the evening. So it's a mix. We've got to work around the weather, but it's definitely a lot of flying, but that's really what we love about this. We enjoy the aircraft and we enjoy what we're providing, the service we're providing for our growers.
Yeah, watching the weather, but also you need to plan ahead probably too for any obstructions.
Yeah, so for us, when we're dispatching our aircraft, we're pretty fortunate. We're doing a lot of the same fields year over year over year right here in the Central Sand. So we know the area quite well. But that said, you do have new things that come up, whether it be wind turbines or towers, met towers, unmarked obstructions. But in our business, we actually run it's almost a geographic information system where we'll log any of these known hazards. So when we're dispatching our aircraft, we actually dispatch them with a map of that field to be applied, and we'll have on it marked any known obstructions that could be a hazard to the pilot. So that they're aware of these, and it can be part of their pre-flight planning before they actually get in the aircraft.
And then I had to ask, too, how fast do you typically go?
Yeah, these airplanes, they just keep going faster. So it's depending on the type of application or the field they're in, they can vary their airspeed. But on the low side, they might be doing 130 miles per hour, or they might be doing 160 miles per hour across the field.
Could you use more pilots?
Right now, we're well-suited. That's something in our industry. We've worked hard to try to recruit newer pilots. Several years ago, our average pilot age, I think, was in the mid to upper 50s. So that tells you it was an aging population of pilots. And since then, we've certainly seen a resurgence in younger pilots getting an interest in aerial application. And I can just see that anecdotally visiting our annual trade shows in the U.S., that you just see the crowd suddenly got younger, which is a great thing. We need that. I think some of that just gets to be some of these kids were so far removed from the farm, and suddenly they're seeing this whole new perspective of they want to become pilots, and they just see aviation being such a unique, just a life-giving profession. I mean, we're flying over farmers' fields, providing food for that gets shipped throughout the U.S. and the world, and it's just a very fun and enjoyable career for somebody that can understand the hours and the demands of the position.
A glimpse into the life of an agricultural aviator with Curtis Meister. He's the president of Raby Spraying Service in the Central Sands, and he's president of the Wisconsin Agricultural Aviation Association. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK. The Todd Alba Show.
Going back to this interview we just had again, many thanks to Michael Cohen, former attorney and fixer for Donald Trump. Let's go back to the phone lines. Don in Milwaukee. Don, thanks for holding. What say you?
My God, Ted, I've been listening to your station, Civic Media, for a long time, and this was a blockbuster. I was absolutely riveted.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Reminders of why we have a National Farm Health and Safety Week, all this week on Farm to Fork. If you're ready to try a highly effective microbial soil inoculant, then Rizol from ProGrow Bio should be your first choice. Rizol offers multiple benefits like enhanced biomass, bigger yields, and improved soil health. 100% organic and works with conventional or organic crops, and comes in a soluble dry form for easy handling and long shelf life. Search the web for R-H-I-Z-O-L from ProGrow Bio.
Hey there, it's Mike Rowe, and if you're out there getting dirty, do me a favor and remember to call or click 811 before you dig. And when I say dig, I refer to any activity requiring boring, tilling, drilling, probing, reaming, plowing, drudging, or even scoping. Anything that causes you to roll up your sleeves a little and dig in requires you to first connect with 811 so that you can avoid all those buried pipes, wires, and cables underground. To sum up, call or click 811 before you dig and visit safeexcavator.com for more information.
Back in 2007, South Carolina farmer Samson Parker's old-style corn picker became plugged. What happened next changed his life forever.
I left the tractor running, and I walked back around the corn picker. There was a corn stalk stuck, and without thinking, reached my arm into the corn picker, grabbed a hold of the corn stalk, and pulled down, and the corn stalk wouldn't come out. And then I pushed up, and when I pushed up, the rollers that take the shucks off the corn grabbed my hand. My hand was stuck, and I knew I was in trouble. But I had to block the pain out of my brain. I knew I had somehow to get the machine to stop.
With his free arm, Parker yanked a pin from one part of the corn picker and jammed it into a mechanism to stop the machine from running. That worked, but it created friction in parts of the machine that were still running. Sparks ignited the shucks in the picker.
Inside here, which was still about half full of corn shucks, it was burning. My arm that was stuck in here started burning.
I'll spare you the gruesome details, but Samson survived. There's a link to his story on the show info page at NorthShoreProductions.com. Tomorrow, another farmer's tale of survival. That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. We'll review the sports news of the week as well as Governor Tim Walz in Superior. Let you know what happened. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Thank you for tuning in. Got my friend Earl Ingram, Jr., Civic Media's own. Earl, thanks for joining me and hanging out in Waukesha, man.
Man, you sound like you've done this before.
It's been a couple of times. I mean, not as old as veteran as you, perhaps, Earl.
The first time you're doing this under the Dominic Salvia Show, you've invited me. It's an honor.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston, the FBI.